If you'd like to follow along in your scriptures, we will be looking at Luke 1, starting in verse 39 and going to verse 56. We'll pray for the Spirit's guidance. Our Lord and our God, as we look at these familiar verses in your text today, I just pray that you have us see them in another light, a deeper revelation of who you are, Lord, and what you have done for us, O Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 1, starting in verse 39, in those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, for that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. You may be seated. We will be reading quite a bit of scripture this morning. I love this time of year. I was raised up Catholic, but even we didn't hear much of the scripture throughout the year at Christmas time. Even as a young person, I remember these verses and the peace that they have given me over the years. You know, I want us to ponder the meaning of Christmas. You know, we hear all the Christmas season, the spirit of Christmas, all the Christmas movies. So what is the real meaning of Christmas? Is it the celebrating with relatives, exchanging gifts, having meals together, more time praising God in church? You know, some people feel that Christmas and Easter is the only time to go to church. Is it being more friendly to your neighbors, the people you meet? Having a better attitude toward life? I think it's all of the above. Living out the Christian life. But the real meaning of Christmas is remembering what the Lord has done to us and for us. the gift of salvation, coming here to earth to die for us. As we go through these verses, there was a time of silence. I think it was 400 or 500 years. No oracles, no prophecies. God's people were waiting for the Lord and they were not hearing from him. And that silence was broken when the angel came to Zechariah in the temple. Luke 1, verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me and take away my reproach among people." The silence was indeed broken. Elizabeth would have a child. Mary would have a child. Two births, miraculous births. And at this time, Mary did not know Elizabeth was pregnant. I'm sure she probably heard of the event that Zechariah went through, being relatives, and him the high priest. I'm sure it was a talk, even though they lived 70 miles apart. But God would come to Mary and foretell her birth, the birth of Jesus as well. And there we see in verse 26. In the sixth month, an angel, Gabriel, was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. These angelic appearances sets the stage for what we will look at today. The union of these two chosen women. And the responses that they have to God's blessing in their lives. There were both signs given. Zechariah was unable to speak. And the sign for Mary was that Elizabeth was already in her sixth month. The woman who was beyond childbearing years. It was considered barren, a disgrace at that time, whose reproach had been removed. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to the town in Judea. Now, why do you think she went to visit Elizabeth? Think about her condition. The angel appears to her, and soon she's going to be showing. She has a lot of explaining to do to Joseph, to her family. Will they really understand? To the townspeople? She's going there because Elizabeth will understand. The angel came to her. Mary needs that reinforcement, I believe. That comfort, the knowing that, yes, this is true. I will have the Son of God, and it will be difficult because of the circumstances. You know, God had broken the silence, and she wanted to hear more from God. She wanted to hear from Zechariah and Elizabeth how God was working at that time. And God gives a great answer when Mary approaches Elizabeth. The working of the Holy Spirit in the baby that's forming in her womb. We are told the baby leaped in Elizabeth's womb. It rejoiced. John the Baptist was rejoicing and praising our Lord even from the womb. This was far beyond the baby just kicking. It was a miraculous sign. A miraculous sign from God that, as the scripture says, John was filled before his birth with the Holy Spirit. And yet in our world, they say it's just a blob of tissue at times. How sad. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Leaped for joy. When we look at Luke 1:15, we know why. "For he will be great before the Lord." This is talking about John. "And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." It's amazing. God was working even in the womb through John as a prophet. From the earliest of age, before he even saw the light of day, God was working in his spirit. And he leaped for joy to worship the Savior in Mary's womb. Again, this is the first proclamation that John is the forerunner of the Messiah, preparing the hearts of Mary and Elizabeth that, yes, these children are children of promise, miraculous children. And yes, you are blessed among women. Yes, Mary, even though the path is going to be hard, you are blessed. Again, God knew the difficulties that Mary faced. She needed confirmation, just like we need confirmation from God through the love of friends and family at times. But she would be the mother of God in human form. A young lady who most likely was still in her teens. God's working through Elizabeth was such a blessing to Mary. It lifted her spirit. And she was filled with the Holy Spirit in her response. But as I read her response, we see that Mary was a person of Scripture. Many of these verses we find in the Psalms. Some in Hannah's prayer. She was a student of the Scriptures. She was a faithful servant of God. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. That's the heart of the Christmas spirit right there. We see it in Mary's song. This is one of five songs in this book of Luke concerning the Advent season. Elizabeth's, Mary's, Zechariah's, the angels, and Simeon. They all praise God through song because of his overwhelming goodness consumed them. Notice first, this praise, this song comes from the depths of her being. This isn't lip service. My soul magnifies the Lord. The next verse is pretty much the same thing. Just said another way. Hebrew poetry. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Again, her joy of God comes from her inmost being. The Holy Spirit has taken control of her heart, her thoughts, and the joy she finds in the God, our Savior, her Savior. That's where true worship starts. It starts deep in our hearts, where we understand that God is our Savior. Our innermost being is what praises God. That can only come from true salvation. Salvation where we can praise God even in the difficult times of life. Because as Purcell said last week, God is our centerpiece. Our focus. And that love that God gives to us overflows in the expression through our mouths, through our lives. And it's a continuous praise of our God. That's why the true believers love the reading of God's word and the studying of God's word. because they are continually rejoicing in learning about what God has done for us. What God has done to us. That's why our expression of how we treat our neighbors at this season, it comes from our innermost being of loving our God. Expressing His love through us to others. You could say Mary had that mind as she continues in her song of praise. And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to His offspring forever. Now, Mary knows the silent years are over. God again is speaking to His offspring, just as He did in His past. He has not abandoned His people, nor will He ever abandon His elect. Now, Mary is blessed like we are blessed because her Savior came and lived on this earth, died for her, saved her from her sins, just as He did with us. Yes, He used her for a specific task, to bring Jesus in human form into this earth. But God has specific tasks for each believer, works prepared in advance for us to do. We are all blessed by God, because God takes the humble, humble people like us, and exalts us and gives us the privilege of representing Him to this world. And it is a privilege. It is a great privilege to serve our King and our God. So many of the things we do this Christmas season are secondary. Secondary to the believer's soul. Our focus, our focal point must be what God has done to us by choosing and electing us. And our hearts, when we realize that and fully comprehend it, we should exalt as Mary did in song, praising our God for the mighty works He has done to us, sinners. But yet He uses us to advance His kingdom, just as He used Mary to advance His kingdom. You know, He came here on earth, had life here on earth, so that we may have abundant life as believers. Abundant life here on earth when He is our King and our Savior. Does your soul magnify the Lord? It should. It must, if you claim that you are His. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, teach us to magnify you, O Lord, to ever be grateful from our most inmost being that you are the God of our salvation. And as we move into this Advent season once again, let it ever be on our minds more and more the fact that you came to this earth for us to be a propitiation for our sins, that you magnified and glorified the Father by your faithfulness, and teach us to glorify you with our faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.